Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Yud Dalet. And we begin at the Mishnah about 10 lines down or so on Daf Yud Dalet Omud Aleph. And we begin the new Mishnah as follows. Kol Shiva Sayomim, the 7 days that the Kohen is separated right before Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol has to be Mufrash, as we've been talking about in the entire Masechta till now. So those 7 day period of time, what does he do while he's sequestered? What does he do while he's separated away from his family, from his wife? He has to go and learn the halachos of the Beis HaMikdash. There were times, as we mentioned already in the second Beis HaMikdash, where the Kohanim Gedolim were really not very knowledgeable. So just in the case that they didn't really know what to do, they would practice that entire week beforehand doing the Avodah. So Kol Shiva Sayomim, for that 7 day period of time when the Kohen Gadol was separated, who Zorek Es Adam, they would practice him doing the Korbanos. So every day he would do the Korban Tomit, and he would be the one that would do the Zrika of the Dam. As Rashi tells us, Shol Tmidim, this is the Korban Tomit Shol Shachris, and Korban Tomit Shol Ben Arbayim. Kidei Shia Rogil Umezuman Biavodis Yom Kippurim. This would prepare him. He would become familiar with the way to do the Korban. He would have to do all the Korbanos on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, all the Avodah had to be done by the Kohen Gadol. The items that were specific for Yom Kippur, as well as the things that were the regular daily Korbanos, such as the Korban Tamid. So he would practice and do them all week long. So Huzorek Es Adam, Umakdir Es HaKitores, he would go and bring the incense offering, which was brought every morning and every night as well, on the inner Mizbeach, on the Mizbeach Hazov, inside the Heichol. This was something that the Kohen Gadol did on Yom Kippur, and he would do this as well every day during the week beforehand, both in the morning and in the afternoon. And afterwards, he did Umeitiv Haseneros. He would go and take care of the menorah. He would remove the old wicks, clean them out, and add the new oil. Rashi explains that this is either the lotion that we have is medashin, or it would be medashnon, mina efer, hapsilos, from the leftover ashes from the wicks from the previous day, shakavu, that went out. V'chein kol yom v'yom, every morning, metiva baboker, he would do them in the morning, he would clean them out. Shinem by the pasuk is baboker, baboker, early in the morning he would do this. B'hayitivo es hanero, so this was something that would be done every day. So the Kohen Gadol would do this week, v'chol yom maktirin kitoris b'heichol, and every day he would bring the kitoris and the heichol, prosper shachris with prosper rabbim. As I just said, he would do the morning and afternoon service of the kitoris, as well as cleaning out the neros. We'll learn more about this in the Gemara. And likewise, umakriv es harosh v'es haregel. He would go and bring the first part of the Korban Tomit, which was the rosh and the regel. Every day, the Korban Tomit was brought by multiple kohanim. They would each carry different parts of it on Yom Kippur. The Kohen Gadol had to do it all himself. But on this day, there's one opinion that says he just did the rosh and the regel in order not to tire him out, because once you know how to do one of them, you can do the others as well. It's just repetitious. So they would teach him how to do the Rosh and the Regel, which was the first one, and then some other Kohanim would do the rest of the Korban Tomit. Others suggest, no, this is just giving us the Rashi Prakim. This is just giving us the headline, so to say. And of course, he did not only the Rosh and the Regel, but he did all the other aspects, all the other parts of the Korban Ola, the Korban Tomit that was brought every morning and every afternoon. He did all of the Haktorah of all of them. Then the Mishnah says, by the way, the Kohen Gadol always had the right to do this. It just wasn't this week that was a special dispensation that we let the Kohen Gadol go and do this. Ushar kol yom, and the rest of the year, if the Kohen Gadol ever wanted to, im rotza, if it was his desire to do so, lahakriv, if he wanted to do any part of the service that was done daily in the Beis HaMikdash, which normally would be done by the Beis Av of that Mishmar. We mentioned many times the Kohanim were divided up into 24 Mishmaros, and each Mishmar was divided up into 6 Bate Av. So every group of Kohanim that was assigned to do the work that day, if they wanted to, they could be preempted by the Kohen Gadol. If the Kohen Gadol wished to, im rotza, lahakriv, makriv. She Kohen Gadol, makriv, chelik, berosh, v'notel, chelik, berosh. Because the Kohen Gadol had priority over everybody else, even if there was their assigned day. If he wished to, he could be makriv any part of the Avodah. And likewise, he was entitled to take whatever piece he would like from the matanos that were given to the Kohanim. So if the Kohanim were entitled to get, let's say, the shok and the chazeh that were given from a Korban Shlomim, so he was entitled to go and take that. He was entitled to go and take whatever Matanos, Matmona Yofe, as Rashi says, Shiv Chalo, he could take whatever he wanted to. That's the Mishnah. The Gemara starts off and says, Montano, who is the author of our Mishnah? So Rabbi Chista, the Lok Rabbi Akiva. Our Mishnah isn't seeming to be in accord with Rabbi Akiva. Why not? Because Rabbi Akiva holds as follows. The Rabbi Akiva, if our Mishnah be Rabbi Akiva, ha, Omar, he already taught us that Tohar, Shinof, Lolov, Hazor, Tab also, that if a person who was tar had the mechatas sprinkled upon him. So the mechatas, of course, were used to be sprinkled on a person who was tamei mes on the third and seventh day after their tumas mes. So they had the miraculous ability to make a person go from being tamei to being tar after the hazor shlishi ushvi, and then they went to the mikvah on the seventh day. So then by Harav Shemesh, they became tar from their tumas mes. So that everybody agrees with. That's the din of paraduma of the mechatas. But Rabbi Kiva says that if you put the mechatas, if you sprinkle the paraduma waters on a person who's tameh, they make that person tar eventually. However, if Rabbi Kiva says, if you sprinkle the mechatas on a tahar person, tahar shenof lo lov hazah tumaso, it actually makes you paradoxically tameh. Now, our Mishnah, and it really means the Mishnayis beforehand, talk about that every day we said the minhag was that they would sprinkle the mechatas on every single day. Remember, we had kol yom and they would sprinkle. We said maybe not the fourth day and not Shabbos, but we talked about that they would sprinkle on the kohen gadol every day the mechatas. Now, this was only because of a far-fetched suffix that maybe he had become tamei, so we didn't want to take any chances. But he had the status of being tar. So Rabbi Akiva would say, if you did this, you would make him tamei. So obviously, our series of Mishnayos over here cannot be in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Because Hechi Ovi Avoda, how would the Kohen Gadol, if they sprinkled upon him the Mechatas, be allowed to do the Avoda? Because he would now become Tomei, according to Rabbi Akiva. And this is a Braisa, the Tanya. Because we learn in the Pasuk, it says, in Parshas Parah, Parshas Chukas, Vizohat Tor ala Tomei, that when the person who's Tor sprinkles the Mechatas on the person who's Tomei, so that person becomes Tor. Vizohat Tor ala Tomei. And the Pasuk then says, you do this on Yom HaShlishi, Yom HaShvi, and the Chibes Begotav, ultimately, V'ruchatz V'mayim V'teher Ba'arv, ultimately, he's going to become Tar. But that implies, Al HaTomei Tar, only the person who's Tomei can become Tar. Paradoxically, Rabbi Kiva Darshan's, V'al HaTar, if you were to sprinkle the Mechatas on a Tar person, he becomes Tomei, based upon this Pasuk. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva cannot be the author of our series of Mishnayos that requires the Mechatas to be sprinkled on the Kohen Gadol, because he is now tar. If you sprinkled it upon him, you would paradoxically make him tummy. He would be able to do the Avoda. Therefore, the Gemara concludes, who's the author of our series of Mishnayos? Rav Chisda says it can't be Rabbi Akiva. Who is it then? It's the Chachamim, who argued Rabbi Akiva. Chachamim, no, this Pasuk isn't darshan that way. We don't darshan it the way Rabbi Akiva did. Ein hadvarim halolu amurin. These words are only said over here, Elo bidvarim hamikablum tuma. This has come to teach us that something that is makabel tuma, something that's potentially capable of getting tame, so then the mechatas will work on such an item. But it doesn't imply that if it works on something that is tar, it would make that item tame. Now, Mahi, what exactly is this machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and the Chacham Kiditnan? This is based upon a Mishnah that we learn in Parah. Again, the people that are doing the Mishnah, the Omis, we just began Maseches Parah this week on Monday. And it's a wonderful masechta. I encourage people to do the Mishnah Yomis. In any event, the Mishnah there in Parah tells us, Niskavin lahazos ala behema. If a person intended to go and sprinkle the Parah Aduma on a behema. Now, a behema, other than man, so here we're talking about behemas other than man, can never become tummy while it's alive. There is not the ability of an animal to accept tumma while it's alive. It doesn't have enough kedusha that it can accept tumma while it's alive. As opposed to man, which man can become tamei while they're alive. So, if a person intended to sprinkle the mechatas on a behemah, on an animal, but v'hizor al ha'odom, instead, he sprinkled the mechatas on a person. So, im yesh b'ezov, if there still is left, when you sprinkle it, you dip the ezov, the hyssop branches, into the water of the paraduma, into the mechatas. If there is water left on those branches, Yishana, you're allowed to still go and use that water on another person. In other words, there still is some mechatas left on these branches. You don't have to re-dip it because you put it on a person, and therefore that is not considered avoda. This Mishnah is working with the assumption that you're not allowed to do any avoda with the mechatas. If you do an avoda, if you do any sort of work with the mechatas, that ruins the mechatas. So if you sprinkled it on an animal, this is the girsa that we have, this is the way we understand it. The Rabbeinu Chananel has the exact opposite girsa. We're just going to keep our girsa here and understand the Mishnah with the girsa that we have. So if you were to go sprinkle the mei chatas on a behema, since that has no purpose whatsoever, since an animal can't become tame. So this pasuk is coming to teach us that in that situation, it's considered work. So if you sprinkle the mechatas on a behema, any remaining mechatas that is on this hyssop branch, on this azov, is no good to be sprinkled on somebody else. You've essentially ruined it. But if you in fact intended to sprinkle it on an animal, but you sprinkled it on a person, so that paradoxically didn't ruin it. And therefore, if there's any mechatas left on the azov, yishana, you're allowed to go and still use that and sprinkle it on another person who is tame. However, if you intended to go and sprinkle it on a person, but by accident, you did sprinkle it on an animal instead, so that's considered avoda with the mechatas, that ruins that mechatas, and any mechatas that's left on that ezov, mechatas still left on it, lo yishana, you're not allowed to go and sprinkle it on a person. You have to go and re-dip it into the mechatas, get new, fresh, good mechatas to go sprinkle that on another person. So this is the rationale, according to the opinion of the Chachamim, what the pasuk says, v'yizar tara l'tamei. So the Gemara now goes through this again. It's a little bit verbose over here. It's going to repeat some of this discussion. So my time with Rabbi Akiva, what's the reasoning for Rabbi Akiva? So we already said, nichtov rachmana, because he would have said, nichtov, the Torah should have said, nichtov rachmana, v'yizar tara olav. We should have just said, go sprinkle on this tar person. Why do you have to tell me my visa? When we say in the pasuk, hatar, the tar person should sprinkle it, ahatame. It should have just said alag. We know we're talking about with the tame person. So for the fact that it reiterated something that wasn't necessary, when it said visa, hatar, al hatame instead of a love, my al hatame, shmami no. Rabbi Akiva Darshan's is al hatame tar. If you sprinkle it on a tame person, they become tar. But paradoxically, if you al hatar, tame. But if you sprinkle it on a tar person, that person becomes tame. That's Rabbi Akiva's drasha, and the Rabbanan, they disagree with that. What do they use the words vizor hatar al hatame for? Rabbanan, hai, ludvarim, hamakabim, tuma, hu. That's what we brought down for the Mishnah and Parah. They use it to Darshan now. If you're niskavin, lazos ala behema, vizola adam, or niskavin, lazos ala adam, he's ala behema, it teaches us those dinim. That's what it comes, the also, hayla dorham, kabun tumma, hu the also. That's what it comes to teach us. So, avo hocha, here they disagree with Rabbi Akiva. No, what was wrong with Rabbi Akiva's drasha? They say he's wrong, because avo hocha, it's a kabu chomerhu. In fact, im ala tome tar, if you sprinkle on a tome person, becomes tar. So, ala chakam vakama, if you sprinkle ala tar, lo kol shekein, then he should remain tar. So, therefore, they disagree with Rabbi Akiva. No, what does Rabbi Akiva say to that? That's a very sound kal vachomer. Again, it makes absolutely no sense to say, if you sprinkle mechatas on a tome person, it can make him tar. And therefore, one would have said naturally that the mechatas can't be metami somebody, can only be metar somebody. So, it doesn't make any sense. Kol shekein, if you sprinkle on a tar person, it shouldn't make him tame. So how does Rabbi Akiva deal with that? So this is a famous, famous drasha. Rabbi Akiva, what does he say about this? Hainu dekamar. This is what Rabbi Akiva says, when Shlomo HaMelech says in Koheles, all my life, kozos nisisi b'chochma, however, amarti ech koma, I will figure this one out. However, paraduma v'hi rechoka mimeni, I cannot figure out this din. This is the classical chok. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us. We don't understand Tumah V'Tara, and we certainly don't understand how the paraduma could make a tame person tahar. And yet, paradoxically, if you were to go and sprinkle it on a tar person, it makes it tame. Amarti achkama v'hi rechoka mimeni. So that's what Shlomo HaMelech couldn't understand. So Rabbi Akiva says, don't give me this kal v'chomer over here. That's the whole issue. Shlomo HaMelech, the smartest person who ever lived, couldn't understand it. What are you giving me a hard time for? No, this is a very good idea. We understand what Shlomo HaMelech said. I don't understand Paraduma. No, Rabbanan, what do they do with this, Shlomo HaMelech? Shlomo HaMelech says, this thing of Rabbi Akiva is exactly the paradox that we can't understand. So, Taka, Shlomo HaMelech seems to indicate that the din is like Rabbi Akiva. So how did the Chacham learn this plia of Shlomo HaMelech? So they say, that comes, Shlomo HaMelech says, I don't understand something about the Paraduma. It's coming to teach us this then. How lemaze ulemazin olav. This is the one who sprinkles, and the one who gets sprinkled on, they become tar. However, you know, geya bohen, if somebody touches the mechatas, they become tame. That's the paradox that Shlomo HaMelech couldn't understand. Mark says, okay, very nice, that's a beautiful idea, but it just doesn't fit in the words of the psukim. Umazi tar? You're telling me that the person who sprinkles the part where Aduma waters on the Tomei person, he stays tar? That's not what the Pasuk says. Paksiv, the Pasuk tells us, V'oizolem l'chukas olam, that's the beginning of the Pasuk, and then it tells us, Umaze mehanida, the one who sprinkles the paraduma waters, mehanida is called the mechatos or the paraduma waters, the one who sprinkles this mehanida, yechabes begodav, he's tamei, he has to go and clean his garments, and that's the Pasuk is telling us with Erich, that the maze is tamei. So how can you tell me that the maze is tar? It says, Umaze mehanida yechabes begodav. So, the Chachamim, what do you do with that? So Gemara says, no, the Chachamim say, no. What does it mean when the Pasuk says, Umaze mehanida? You know what that means? My maze? It means no geya. That's exactly the did that we said. One who touches the mechatas, he becomes tamei. Gemara says, really? Vaksiv, read the Pasuk. It says, Umaze mehanida yichabes begadav. And then the Pasuk says, Vano geya b'mehanida yitma adar. Even the one who touches it is tamei. So it says, Beferish, there's an ogeya. And it says, Beferish, there's a maze. So therefore, Vaksiv maze. So, Vaksiv maze, Vaksiv no geya. It tells me both of them that are tamei. And different levels of tumah. Vahod, it says, the maze is boy kibus begadim. That's a higher level of tumah. The no geya, low boy kibus begadim. It just says, tamei. Itmo ado orif. So again, the Chachamim, they're saying that the plea of Shlomo HaMelech was that I don't understand this din of Paraduma. You're telling me it means that the Mazeh and the Mazeh no love are Tohar and only the Nogeh is Tameh? That's just totally incorrect from the Psukim. So how did the Chachamim learn this? So Gemara says, you're right. Elo, my Mazeh. What does it mean, Mazeh? It doesn't mean Nogeh, because the Pasuk tells me the Nogeh. The Mazeh is the Noseh, one who carries the Mechatos. Gemara says, okay, that I don't have a pasuk to say that that's wrong. But why does the pasuk use the terminology of maze if it means no say? So Gemara says, v'nichtov rechbona no say, my time aksiv maze, why did they use this terminology of maze if they meant no say? So Gemara says, no, that's the chiddush the chacham say. And the chiddush the chacham say is, deba'inan shir hazah. It comes to teach us that you're only going to be tamei if you're no say it. If you're no say enough of a shear for hazah. That's why it uses the terminology of umaze me'anida to teach me that somebody who's nose a shear of maze, they are becoming tamei. Ah, Mor says, that's great. We finally figure out the Chacham Shita, what Shlomo Amelech's plea was. This works out great if you say, Hazah Tzricha Shir. If there is a Shir for Hazah, oh, now we understand why it says maze instead of nose to teach me that you're only going to be Tomei, if you're nose, a shear of maze. So that works out great. If you hold that there is a shear of maze, it your man the armor, anichel man the armor, hazor, tzricha shear. But that's a big machlokas. Hello, man the armor, hazor, ain't tzricha shear. But according to man the armor, it says that there is no shear, there is no minimal shear of hazor. Any amount that's sprinkled on a person makes that person who is tomei become tar. So, Michael Mehmar, there is no shear. So, why doesn't the Torah say nose instead of maze? So, Gemara says no. Even the man diomer, afilu the man diomer that says hazor ain't tzricha shir, that says there is no minimal amount that you have to sprinkle on somebody. Any amount that you sprinkle on them, even one drop that gets sprinkled on them, makes the person who's tameh become tar. That's the hazor shlishi and the hazor shvi. Nevertheless, even according to that man diomer, hani mili agaba tegavra. That's when you're talking about sprinkling it on the person. There is no minimal shir according to this man diomer. However, I will be mona, but from the container. The Mechatas container, everybody, even the Mandiyama says that there is no shira for the Hazor sprinkling on the person. Even that Mandiyama says, Abo Bimona, in the Kli of the Mechatas, Tzricha Shir, that must have a minimal amount. And that's what it's talking about. You must carry this minimal shir in order to become Tomei. And that's why it uses the Lashon of Maze Mehanida instead of Nose Mehanida. And this is also a Mishnah. This Mishnah, and also in Parah, tells us as follows. Tithnan. Kama yehebohen, how much mechatas does it have to be in the container? Ye kidei hazor, that you can go and dip the azo in there and sprinkle. In other words, just because it's a drop in there and you can get a drop on the azo, that isn't good. You need to have a minimal shear inside the container that has the mechatas in order for a person to go and be able to use this container of mechatas to go dip the azo into it and sprinkle it on a tummy person. Everybody agrees to that. Even the man the Yomer that says that there is no shear on the actual amount that has to go on the person, but there is a shear in the container. And how much is that? Kami Yehbohan, Yehkideh Hazor. So the Gemara says Kideshi Yitbol, we turn to Yudalit Omud Beis, in order that you go and be Tovel Roshe Giv Olin Viazet. It is enough that you could fit the top of the Azo into the water. It has to be immersed enough into the water and pick up enough water that you could go and sprinkle. So you have to be able to be Tovel the Roshe Giv Olin in this container. There has to be enough Mechatis in there that it can pick up some of the Bechatis water, and then you have enough to sprinkle it. As Rashi says, Klomar Kidei Shiyat Bilom Bahen Tvila, you have to immerse enough the heads of this hyssop, this azo, into this water, Shehebo Lahatis Mimena, that it will get wet, and then you can go sprinkle it on a person. So there is a minimal shear, and that is the shear. Why it says Maze, to teach me no say, and that is the shear of Maze, is the shear that's in the container. And even according to Man the Yomi, it says there's no shear that you sprinkle on a person. Everyone agrees that there's a shear that must be in the container. That's teretz number one, a long teretz number one to the answer that our Mishnah doesn't go in accord with Rabbi Akiva, because he holds differently than the series of Mishnayos that we're talking here in our Masechta, in our first parak, that says that the Kohen Gadol has to have Hazar during the week that he's Bufrash, and therefore the author of our series of Mishnayos is not Rabbi Akiva. Teretz number one. However, there's a very simple teretz number two. Apayamai, no. Afilu tam Rabbi Akiva. You could even say that Rabbi Akiva is the author of our Mishnah. Aye, Rabbi Akiva says, Vizor hator alatomi, means that if you're Hizor on a tar, he becomes Tomei. So then how could the Kohen Gadol do the Avodah? He becomes Tomei. He says, no. When do you do the Hazor? Guess what? Do the Hazor 5 minutes before the Shkiah Sachama. The Ovid Avodah Kuliyoma, let the Kohen Gadol work all day long. He's tar, he's doing the Avodah all day long, he's practicing. And then, Ulefanya, Lefanya means right before the day is over, right before it's the Shkia, Madu Alei. Madu is the lotion that we use for sprinkling. So 5 minutes before the Shkia, sprinkle the Mechatos on the Kohen Gadol, have him go to the Mikvah, the Tovil, and then the Ovid Harav Shemesh, and the Harav Shemesh comes, he becomes tar. So therefore, let him finish off doing the Tomit Shobein Harbayim. He does the Ktoris. He does the Hatovas Aneros in the afternoon. No, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Shki is at 6 o'clock. At that point, there's all the Avodas done. Sprinkle the Mechatas on the Kohen Gadol then. Wait till it's nightfall. He goes to the Mikvah first. Wait till it's nightfall. And then he is tar. So therefore, even Rabbi Akiva would say that, no, sprinkle it on him. Just do it strategically. Do it in the afternoon after all the Avodah is done. And this way, we can fulfill the custom of sprinkling the Mechatas on the Kohen Gadol every day during the 7 days that he separated. No, with the exception, we said, of the fourth day in the Shabbos, we can do this custom even according to Rabbi Akiva. That concludes this discussion, that who's the author of our Mishnah. And now we go back and discuss our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, we quote the Mishnah, Umakdir es haktores, umeitiv es haneros. You can go and have the Kohen Gadol practice, and all week long, it said first in the Mishnah that he brings the ketores, and afterwards he does the atovas haneros. Now, the Gemara says, Almor, from the order that our Mishnah gives, it appears that the author of our Mishnah holds the ketores bereisha, that first in the day's activities, the ketores comes first, and only afterwards vahadar neros, and afterwards is the atovas haneros. Torahs first, incense, and then cleaning out the menorah. But Rameinu, this doesn't seem to be in accord with what it says in the Mishnayis and Tomid. The Mishnayis and Tomid deal with a lot of the activities of the Korban Tomid and go through the day of the Kohen, or the Kohen Gadol, if he wishes to, as we said, he can do anything, goes through what the activities in the Beis HaMikdash were. And it says there, in the Mishnayis and Tomid, Misha Zocha B'dishu Mizbeach HaPnimi, they used to have lotteries. And originally, they used to have a race, and see whoever got there first was Zocha to do the Avodah. So it would lead to everybody to do it with alacrity, and they would run. But the races led to people pushing, and it turned out that some of the Kohanim got hurt, and therefore they said, we're no longer going to do the races, we're going to do a lottery. So that's the lottery that we're talking about. Misha Zocha, whoever won the lottery, again, there were a number of lotteries. Here we're talking about this specific lottery for the Dishun Mizbeach HaPnimi, the one who got the right to clean off the ashes that were on the Mizbeach HaPnimi. Now, I mentioned many times already, the Mizbeach HaPnimi never had any carbon put on it, so it's only clearing off the ashes from the Ketores. Tosus points out, over in the top Tosus for Minu, he says, why are you telling me this? Why is it necessary to tell me anything about the Dishun Mizbeach HaPnimi? Just get straight to the point. So Tosos, really Rashi said the same thing, is going through the order over here to show us that this was the order of the day, and it's pointing out that the first thing that they did was various lotteries, and we'll get to the one that we're interested in a moment. So again, it says over here in the Mishnayis in Tomid, Misha Zocha B'disha B'nei Pnimi, he was the first lottery, and he was the winner, he got to clean that off. But that's the first thing that was done. Then, Misha Zocha B'menorah, they did the lottery for the menorah, meaning that the second thing was done was the cleaning out of the menorah, which is known as Hatovas HaNeros. First, they did the Hatovas HaNeros, and then only afterwards, Misha Zocha B'Ktoris, did they do the lottery for the Ktoris. So the order of the Tana in Tomid is that you do Hatovas HaNeros before you do the Ktoris. But the author of our Mishnah seems to indicate that you do the Ktoris before you do the Hatovas HaNeros. So there's a stira between the order of the Tana of our Mishnah and the Tana in Tomid. That's the Gemara's question. Abrafuna, Shrafuna says, you're right. Man Tana Tomid, who's the author of the Mishnayis in Tomid? That's Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMitzpahu. And therefore, he disagrees with the author of our Mishnah. As Rashi says, the Shamina lay b'raisa, the Iri, b'helcho seder Tomid. We have Raiz elsewhere that he's the author in Tomid. So he's not the author over here. Fine. No big deal. We have a Mishnayis that are in disagreement with each other. So machlok is tanoim. Where it says, but that's not true. For if but elsewhere we learn that Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMitzvah is in fact the author of our Mishnayis, the Tanan. Because we're going to learn that over there in the Mishnayis in Tomid, it says, Balo Lekeren Mizrachis Tzifonis. When the Kohen goes up to do the sprinkling of the Korban Tomid on the Mizbeach. Now, the Korban Tomid is an Ola, and Ola, as we say every morning in the Mishnayos of Ezu Mekom Shosvachim, so it points out that an Ola has sprinklings that are Shtayim Shein Arba, that you sprinkle on the corners that have a Yisod, which we already pointed out previously, that the only corner that doesn't have a Yisod, we had a discussion about Shevet Binyamin and Shevet Yehuda, so we said that the only corner that doesn't have a Yisod is the southeast corner. So that means you can't sprinkle on the southeast corner because there's no Yisod over there, and then sprinkle on the diagonally opposite corner that does have a yisod, which would be the northwest corner. So the sprinklings are only done on the northeast corner and on the southwest corner. Those are the only two where if you sprinkle on the corner, you get both sides. And that's called shtayim. You do two sprinklings, shein arba, which gets you all four sides of the mizbeach. So when you go up the ramp of the mizbeach, so you're going to first reach to the corner that is the keren mizrachis tzifonis on the northeastern side. So that's going to be the first corner that you go to, and you apply the blood to Vinosei Mizrachot Tzfona. You put the single application, which will be two applications, really, because you're putting it on both corners over here. So as you put it on the corner, it's called that you're putting it on two, Mizrachot Tzfona. Then you keep on going in a counterclockwise direction on the Mizbeach, and you go next to the corner that's diagonally opposite it, Maravis Deromis, because this way you can do the other application, the Shtayim Shein Arba, the other application that's two, because no saying Marova Droma, and you put it then on the western southern corner. And in that fashion, you'll do the Shtayim Shein Arba. So that's the Mishnah that we have. But then it tells us, V'toni Yaloh, it tells us there, you're pointing out that the Mishnayis and Tomid are supposed to be this Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMitzvah, so this Tanakama over here is then going to be the author of the Mishnayis and Tomid. And it tells us, with Tony Allah, it says about that Mishnah that Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMitzvah argues with that. Mishana B'Tomid. He says that's not the right way to do it. So obviously, Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMitzvah is not the author of the Mishnayis and Tomid because he argues on the Tana of the Mishnayis and Tomid. And he says that this is unique. This is the only Ola that we don't do it in the fashion of Shtayim Shein Arba. And he says he's Mishana in regards to the Tomid. And he says, yes, I agree. First, you go to the northeastern corner, you go first to the Mizrachis Tzifonis, and you put on one that is really two on that corner, no same Mizrachis Tzifona. However, he then says you go to the counterclockwise, you go to the diagonally opposite southwestern corner, Marav is Deromis, but you don't put one application that's two over there. He disagrees. He says, no sin, Marav, but first you put it on the western side, because that's the side that you reach first, and only afterwards, V'achakach, no sin, Droma, do you put it on the southern side, which you reach right afterwards. It's the corner, the southwest corner, but first you're on the western side, so first you put a single application on the western side, and then you do the other application on the southern side. So we clearly see that Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMitzvah argues with the Tana in Tamid. So how can you tell me that Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah is the Tana of the Mishnayis in Tamid, and he disagrees with the Tana in our Mishnah? Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah is not the Tana of the Mishnayis in Tamid. Shmuel says, Taki, you're right. El Omer of Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan tells us, Man Tana Seidu Yoma. So who's the author of the Mishnayis in Yuma? That is Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah. So Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah, he fits in with our order because he's not the Tana of the order of Mishnayis in Tamid. And therefore, there's no problem that we have a stira between our Mishnah, which says that you do the Torahs first and afterwards the Atavas and Eros, and the Mishnah in Tamid, which is by a different Tana that says, no, first you do the Atavas and Eros, and then you do the Torahs. So there's no problem. We have two different authors. The Mishnayis and Tamid are authored by one Tana, and the Mishnayis and Yuma are authored by another Tana. But that seems to imply that the Mishnayis over here in Yuma are by one author. So we shouldn't have contradictions within Yuma itself. So the Gemara says, Rami said the Yuma, I say the Yuma. But we seem to have a stira within Yuma, and it's going to be difficult to say that it's one Tana, because we're going to learn on Dav Chafei, and this is also brought down in the Mishnayis and Tamid as well, the Tanan. It says the Pious Hasheni, in the second lottery, they would go and see the winners of this lottery, Mishochei, who would be the one that would get the honor of doing the Shechita, Mizorek, who would have the honor of doing the Zrika, and Mimidashe Mizbeach HaPnimi, this is what we said previously, the one that would clear off the ashes from the Ketores, from the inner Mizbeach. And it says, Omimidashe in Es HaMenorah, and who would be the one that would go and clean out the menorah? And as well, that lottery would also have Umi Mala Evarim Lekevesh, who would be the Kohanim that would be Zocha, to go and bring the limbs of the Korban Tamid up onto the Kevesh, where then a second group of Kohanim would later remove them from the Kevesh and bring them actually to be mocked to them on the Mizbeach. That is what our Mishnah is over here. I'm going to tell us is the order of the Pious Hasheni, and that is parallel to what it says in Talmud as well. There's no argument there. Then it says Pious Hashlishi in Yuma. It tells us that the third lottery, which we'll learn about in Yitzhak Hashem when we get to it, the third lottery, that is Chadoshim L'Ketores Bo'ovifisu. The Ketores was a special skula that whoever did the Ketores would become Osher. So therefore, they wanted to spread the wealth, literally and figuratively, and not allow somebody who did the Ketores previously to go do the Ketores again. So therefore, they would have a lottery of only Chadoshim L'Ketores, only Kohanim that had never done the Ketores could participate in that lottery. Now, what do you clearly see? In this situation, it said that the second lottery dealt with the Hatovas HaNeros. It said, Mi Midashin Es HaMenorah. And only in the third lottery did you have the Ketores. So how can you tell us over here in our Mishnah that first the Ketores was done and then the Hatovas HaNeros? In Yuma, we're assuming it's the same Tana, it says the opposite. So we have a stira within Yuma. Our Mishnah says Ketores and then Hatovas HaNeros, and later on it's going to tell us on Dav Chavei that the order is no. First you have the Hatovas HaNeros and then you have the Ketores. So there's a stira minei obey in Yuma. So Amar Abaye, Abaye says Lokash, it's not a problem. There is Hatovas HaNeros that has two parts to it. The Neros, there are seven Neros, but they do it in a group of two and five. We'll discuss later on why that's the way it's done. So here, Kan Batovas Shtei Neros, where we say over here that you do the Ketores first and then you do Meitiv Es HaNeros, this is talking about the second time you do Hatovas HaNeros. The Tana of our Mishnah is saying you do the Ketores, you've already done the first five candles, and then you do the Ketores, and then our Tana of our Mishnah says Maktius HaKetores, and then Meitiv Es HaNeros, the last two Neros. That's what Abai says. Kan Batovas Shtei Neros. And there, Kan Batovas Chomesh Neros. There when it said you do the Hatovas Neros in the Pious Sheni, that's talking about the five candles that you clean out. And then it says in the Pious Shlishi you do the Ketores. And then they agree that after you do the Ketores, you do the last two candles. Now, that's a very good teretz, but that implies something else. L'meimra, therefore that implies the B'Ketores Mafsik Lahu, that the item that's in between the Hatovas, the five Neros, and the Hatovas, the two Neros, is the Ketores. That was the Teres that we just gave. But that's not true. Well, Abaye, he's going to teach us this on Lamed Gimel. Abaye is going to teach us over there, Misader Marocho Mishmei de Gemara. This is also something that we say every morning in the davening, in the Korbanah section, and we'll get to discuss that juicy piece of Gemara when we get to it on Daf Lamed Gimel. And right now we just quote part of it. When Abaye says the order of the daily activities in the Beis HaMikdash, he brings us down the name of the Gemara. He says that the item that's in between the Hatovas, five Neros, and the Hatovas, is not the Ketores. He says it's the Dam HaTamid Mafsik Lahu. It's the sprinkling of the blood of the Korban Tamid that is in between that. So we still have a stira. Shmuel says, no, that's not a problem. Amri Lo Kasha, that's not a problem. Hai Liabashol, Hol Rabbanon. There is a machlokis as to the order. What's in between the Atovah Shnei Neros? You have the opinion of Abba Shaul, and you have the opinion of the Rabbanon. What is that? The Tanya. The Brisa tells us, Lo yativ es haneros v'achakach yaktir. You shouldn't go and do the Hatovas haneros and then do the Ketores. What should you do? El yaktir. First do the Ketores, and then v'achakach yativ es haneros. Then do the Hatovas haneros. Now, what this Tana is telling us is that first you do the Hatovas of the five neros, and then you do the yaktir, and then yaktir v'achakach yativ. So this Tana goes like our understanding here, that you go do the five Hatovas and Eros, then you do the Ketores, and then you do the last two Hatovas and Eros. So this Tana, the Chachamim, the Tanakam over here in the Braisa, hold like us, like our mission over here. However, Abba Shaul, Omer Abba Shaul disagrees. He says, no, Meitim, you do all of the Hatovas and Eros, all seven lamps, albeit not all together. You first do the five, then you do the dam, and then you do the last two. That's what Abba Shaul's opinion is. Abba Shaul, oh man, no. Meitiv, you do the finishing off the Hatavas and Eros before you do the Ketores. V'achakach makdir. So this is this machlokas between the Tanakama of this Brisa, who says like our Gemara here, that you have the Hatavas and Eros, the Ketores, and then the last Hatavas and Eros, as opposed to Abba Shaul, who says you do all the Hatavas and Eros first, with the dam in between him, and then you do the Ketores. My time with Abba Shaul, where does Abba Shaul get his shita from? So he bases upon the darshaning of the pasuk as follows. The pasuk says, Baboker, Baboker, early in the morning, Behetivoas and Eros, you do the Hatovas and Eros, implying all of them. And only afterwards, Vahadar, it says, Yakti Rena, or you bring the Ketores. So, according to Abba Shaul's understanding of the psukim, all of the Hatovas and Eros has to be before the Ketores. No, the Tanakam of this Braisa, the Tanakam of Abba Shaul, the Rabbanon, my Koma Rachmona, how did they darshan this Pasuk? It seems to say exactly like Abba Shaul says. So we turn to Tesvav and Aleph. They darshan as follows. Be'idon Hatova, at the time that you're doing the Hatova scenarios, in other words, you do the first five, stop, and at that point, hey, Maktir Ketores, do the Ketores, and then finish off doing the rest of the Avodah, do the other Hatova scenarios, the last two. And in fact, the Ilo Temahachi, if you don't say like us, the Chacham of Abba Shaul, they argue, then how are you going to understand Bein Arbaim? It says by the afternoon Karban Tamid, it says, Dixiv, Uvahalos Aaron es Haneros Bein Arbaim Yaktirena. It says that when Aaron HaKohen goes and lights the lamps in the afternoon, so then he will bring the Torahs Yaktirena. So how are you going to understand that? Hochanami, the Beresha Madlik Neros. It says first, and only afterwards it says Yak Tirena. Are you going to tell me that you do the lighting of the candles first and only then do the Ketores? That's not true. Vahadar, Hochanami, the Resha, Madik Neros, Vahadar, Makti Ketores, Shabbein Arbayim. That's not true. Now, you're going to tell me, okay, it is true, V'chitem Hochanami, but that's not true because Vatanya, the Pasuk tells us, Me'erev Ad Boker. The Pasuk says that you have to have Me'erev Ad Boker, and the Pasuk ends, Lifnei Hashem Chukas Olam Adorosam Me'es Bnei Yisrael, that this is talking about the last thing of the day. Me'erev Ad Boker should be the lamps lit. In other words, the lamps have to be the last thing that is lit. So you can't light the lamps and then do the Ketores. The lamps have to be the last thing that is lit. The menorah is the last thing that is lit. It says Me'erev, it will light from the night Ad Boker until the morning. And in other words, Tein Lo Midah, so you have to put enough oil into the menorah. Shetehei Dolekes Volekes Kol Halayla Me'erev Ad Boker. Now, that's din number one. But here's the point that we're interested in. Din number two, Dovaracha Me'erev Ad Boker, that comes to teach us, Ein Lecho Avodok Shekshera Me'erev Ad Boker, the last Avodah of the day, the only Avodah that can be done, the last thing in the afternoon and the first thing in the morning, Me'erev Ein Avodah Shekshera Me'erev Ad Boker, Ela Zubuvat. This is the only thing, this is the last thing that must be done in the afternoon. So you can't read this the way you want to say that you do the Neros and then do the Ketores, because that clearly is wrong. So too, in the morning, when you're doing the Ketores, it can't mean that you do the Ketores after all of the Hatovas and Eros. It means it'd be Idan Hatova to Hey Miktar Ketores. That's the understanding of the Chachamim. And therefore, Ella, my Kamarachmana, therefore, what's the Torah telling us? Be Idan the hadlaka, tehei makdir ketores. At the time that the candles are lit in the afternoon, it means that you've already been makdir the ketores. In other words, when you're about to do the lighting of the lamples, the ketores should be offered. So to hochanami in the morning. Be'idan hatova, at the time that you've already started doing the hatova, tehei makdir ketores. And that is the understanding of the chachamim of Abishal, the chachamim that argue on Abishal, that say you do five candles hatava, then you do the ketores, and then you do the other two candles, be'idan hatava, tehei makdir ketores, based upon the way they understand the afternoon, that at the time of the lighting, the ketores should have already been brought. No, this is a very good argument. What does Abishal do with it? The Abishal, how will he respond to this? Amalach, he would say, no, shiny awesome, d'chsiv oso. The pasuk tells us, "Oh, mowei michutz laparochas sher al hoedus yaroch oso aharon uvonav me'erev ad boker." So it says specifically, "This shall be done in this way," implying only in the afternoon is it done this way, but in the morning we don't do it the same way, and therefore Abishal would learn out that the dab comes in between the hatavas of the five neros and then the hatavas of the two neros, but you complete all of them and then yakti rena, and only after you've done all of the hatavas and neros with the dab in between it, then you go do the ketores. So this is the machlokas between Abishal and the Chachamim. And with this, we conclude today's shir.